from KSEV, the voice of Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas, brought to you by the voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV, and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range, Houston's 2012 concealed handgun license headquarters. Jeff, Jason, and Gary in studio today, along with a special guest, Shiloh Shooting Range instructor, Madi Standard. Madi, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Thank you, Jeff.
Does he meet the standard?
That is yet to be found out.
He's never heard that joke before, ever.
I don't know.
Houston, holster your guns and pick up your phones. Call in now at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's talk guns and all things that go bang. And as usual, Gary, our social media king, is on Guns Over Texas Radio Facebook, GunsOverTexas.com, Guns Over Texas Twitter,
TexasGunTalk.com.
TexasGunTalk.com.
We're everywhere.
So if you can't get us on the phone, there's no excuse to not get us on any of those other social media mediums. So Guns Over Texas Radio on any of those. And like I said, call in now, 281-558-5738. Jason, Gary, what's new in your gun world this week?
I am lusting over the Aimpoint POR. I think it's a
the PRO, yeah.
And I'm going to acquire one of those very soon and start playing with it.
Well, nice. I saw a review. I didn't get a chance to. I just skimmed over it. What's the difference between the PRO
and
some of the others?
It's basically the current version of the Aimpoint Comp M3, which had been the standard for a long time. So It's just the newer version of it. But I haven't seen enough of it yet. It's just that if you go in their catalog, that's what you see right now. You don't see the Comp M3.
It's basically comes with a built-in rail, which most of them didn't always have the mounting system built into them.
Yeah.
You had to buy that separately. It's a little bit more bargain price. It doesn't have the night vision settings on it. But for a base model rifle, for a patrol rifle, which is what it's called, the patrol rifle optic, it really is all you need. You know, all these people who spend extra money because I got to have night vision capabilities, but I don't have night vision.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that if you think about the cost of night vision, the average guy doesn't need those settings. It's $3,500 tube on the cheap end for a good night vision setup. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, dude. I could afford it, but I'm not going to drop that kind of coin for something I'll use.
Says the man with the vehicles that we all lust after.
We may not see him pull in his cars, but we definitely hear him leave in his vehicles.
That's only in the Mustang.
Jason, how about you, man? Now, hold on. What's the price point on that PRO?
I think it was like
$400, $400 to $420, around in there.
Like
it's their bargain priced entry level aim point, because most aim points before you even put a mount on them are running $600 to $700.
Yeah, they didn't used to though. That's the thing. I can remember back when I was shooting open in USPSA. Those were a very common sight, and my last aim point, I think,
but
might have
those
been.
Were not the same bomb-proof.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, the original aim points were not something that's going to be submersible and other things like
but
that.
But still, they were, $250, $300, and I'm sorry, no amount of it's still an aluminum tube at the end of the day.
It really is, yeah.
So I'm having trouble going to $600 to $700 for a beer can.
And if you need an aim point, Shiloh Shooting Range can take care of that for you. Jason, how about you?
Nothing particularly new. I'm still waiting to get my hands on one of those newfangled shields that everybody else has. But apparently I'm going to be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
Well, there's this guy I know who has a shop who supposedly could get you one of those.
I know. I heard about him, but apparently he doesn't come through for friends.
Well, I had a 40 that I was willing to sell him, and he told me that his girlish hands wouldn't be able to handle the snap that the 40 caliber shield had.
My comment was actually I was buying this for the women in my life and wanted the lower recoil for them.
Yes. That's a reasonable answer.
It is a reasonable answer, but apparently a friend still couldn't hook a friend up.
Speaking of girlish hands, Madi.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything, you kind of walked into that one, dude.
Anything new in your gun world this week?
Well, I'm actually hoping that a couple of gun parts for my AK comes in tomorrow. I'm trying to lighten the front end, and so I'm going to have Mike over at Dissident Arms. He's going to do the front end work for me. So.
It's an AK.
Right.
Why are you trying to lighten it?
The thing is, dude, like, I'm just wanting, since it's my only rifle, because I don't have any ARs, because I gave it to my brother, I'm just wanting to make my AK more capable.
So you just want to look like a terrorist?
Pretty much.
Okay.
How are you planning on lightening the front end?
I'm going to combine the front sight post with the gas block and trim the barrel down to 14.5 instead of 16.
And you're going
to
save yourself about 3 to 4 ounces for how many hundreds of dollars?
So it's about a pound point four. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, you've got that huge break on the end of it, though.
Yes, sir.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes a little more sense.
Are you doing the SBR paperwork, or are you just going to do
no,
it permanently attached?
Permanently attached.
Gotcha.
All right, let's head right out to the phone lines. We've got Isaac and Tomball. Isaac, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Isaac?
Howdy. You know what I was going to ask about? PPQ?
Uh-huh.
Because I get, okay. Well, some people say that I have kind of small, girlish hands, so.
we won't hold that against you.
Well, I can never fire in the Marine Corps. I couldn't fire the Beretta, the standard issue Beretta there. It was kind of like a brick in my hand.
Yeah,
that is
a
brick in
everybody's
hand, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, Gary is 6'4" and about 290 pounds of just mean, and that Beretta is a brick in
his hand. It's 6'2", and it's 307 as of last week, okay?
Yeah, just do you know if anybody carries that the PPQ around where I say I could get my hands on it and fire it before I went and bought it?
Well, I don't know about being able to shoot it, but the one place in town that's likely to have it in stock is going to be Collector's Firearms.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's the most likely place to find one to actually put your hands on it. And it is a fairly slim grip. The thing that I'm a little hesitant to ever recommend Walther simply because they aren't as common in the U.S. as, say, a Glock or even an HK. And so when you think about the overall package of having to buy a holster and magazines and support this gun over a lifetime, we keep coming back to those same few guns because they are so prevalent in the market. You know, that's a Glock. Even an XD we would tend to recommend more often. But, you know, it's an okay gun. Magazines are not cheap.
You're looking at about $50 for a spare mag.
Yeah.
And,
you know, and if you can find
night sights,
anybody who
shoots a lot knows that spare mags are absolutely necessary. Because if you shoot a lot, you're going to find that a lot of your mags aren't going to cut the muster for to be able to be dependable as a carry mag.
Well, and then you just wear them out. I mean, I go through – right now I'm not shooting as much as I used to. But even at, say, 15,000 rounds a year – I'm going through a few magazines a year in my Glocks. At the very least, I have to change out magazine springs, but I've torn up some bodies and torn up some base plates and torn up some followers. And you know, so I have basically a half dozen that are just for training and competition, and another set that are dedicated for each of the guns that I carry that are just my carry magazines.
Now, we've had quite a few people asking specifically about the PPQ recently. Just in the last, you know, 3 or 4 shows, I think we've talked about the PPQ every show.
Well, it gets a lot of buzz on the gun forums nowadays.
Well, I know Larry Vicker said that it has serious potential as a new combat pistol.
It does. I don't disagree with his opinion. I just, you know, I can't get that excited. And I guess this is a jaded opinion in the thing that guns haven't changed a lot in the last century. I mean, they really haven't. Once we got to the Glock, that was kind of a seminal moment, and everybody else has been playing catch-up, and there's been some improvements, but there's not a lot to add to that formula. I mean, at the end of the day, there's still a little spiral tube, and we launch bullets out of it. There's the PPK doesn't do anything more than what we already have on the market with the M&P, the XD, HK's P30, or the Glock.
It is a nice feeling grip, but it's not doing anything special.
Yeah.
And the gun does have a high bore axis.
Yes.
Which I definitely noticed that when I shot. It shot very soft. You know, it was not a snappy or high recoil gun. But even though it shot soft, the follow-up shots took a second to reacquire because that high bore axis did cause for quite a bit of muzzle snap.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing is if you're used to most magazine releases, unless you're an HK guy, then the magazine release is kind of funky.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I hate that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of that magazine release.
Instead of pushing in on the magazine release like a normal button, you basically have a lever that sticks out along the edge of the trigger guard, and you have to push down on it. which I always used when I was carrying an H&K. I would use my trigger finger to push down and release. You're going to have to find an easier way to do it. It's not a not the most user-friendly mag release.
That's, I've shot so many guns with normal mag releases that every time I pick up one of those guns that has that mag release, I never get the mag out right away.
Yeah.
You know, it's always that... It's like the person who's not used to having a safety on their gun goes to shoot and always...
And they forget to turn it on.
The safety. Every time.
Yep.
It's the same thing with that mag release for me.
It's not a bad gun, but there's just other things that are going to be easier for you to support and easier for you to get along with out there.
Especially when it comes to price of accessories.
And where are these things priced at right now? Because they were kind of pricey at one point, but
not
they
horrible,
might
like
be...
$650, I think. It's not outrageously expensive, but
no,
all the night sights, the holsters, the magazines, and all the support gear are going to be a pain in the ass to find.
Well, there's not even any. Oh my gosh, there's not even any night sights for it yet.
Yeah.
Oh well. Well, I don't know if any of the old ones from the P99 and the others will interchange, but. Yeah, it's just, like I say, finding the support gear you're going to want is going to take you a little time and cost you a little more.
Yeah, it'll eventually be there. So, I mean, it's don't take it from us as a don't buy it, but it's something to think about.
Yeah, just put a little bit more effort into it if that's what you're going to get.
All right.
All right. Hope we could help you out a little bit, Isaac. And thank you for giving us a call on Guns Over Texas.
All right.
Let's head out to Beaumont and talk to Tom. Tom, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Tom?
Not much. How about yourself?
Fantastic, sir. It's a great day when we're talking guns.
There you go. Just wanted an opinion on a couple of things. What would you guys recommend as a self-defense load for a J-frame?
You know, believe it or not, the old 158-grain soft nose works just fine.
That's what I'm using now. I thought there might be something better.
Spear Gold Dot makes a specific load that's made to come out of 2-inch J frames.
Yeah, it's a short barrel load.
Yeah, and I can't remember exactly what it's called.
What's called just the short barrel line because they did it for basically every caliber.
Spear
Gold Dot. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
So that's certainly an option. You know, any of the big three is just fine. But like I said, you know, that the velocity is low enough that the plain old round nose lead ball worked just fine in that gun.
Okay.
It's not necessarily the best choice. I mean, we have hollow points these days, but in that particular realm, you're not pushing really high velocities. So with our hollow points, we typically use higher velocity rounds. Mm-hmm.
But now that you have pre-fragmented bullets and so forth and different technology that allows the bullets to expand at a lower velocity,
I think there may be some advantage to
that. I'd rather have a hollow point that might expand than a lead round nose that I know will never expand.
It wasn't.
That's just me.
Well, it's not that it never expands. It just doesn't expand much.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't use that. I don't carry that all the time, but sometimes I do. And just was just wondering. The other question I had for you, I have a pair of ordnance, P1345, that I've had for a long time, you know. Worked real good, lasted a long time, still like to shoot it. But the springs in the magazine seem to be getting a little soft.
They do get soft over time.
And it's still working and everything, but I was thinking, you know, maybe it's time to look for some aftermarket magazines, and they're not real easy to find as far as factory magazines for that thing. But MechGar makes some. Just wanted your opinion on MechGar magazine.
MechGar is actually an original equipment manufacturer for a lot of people, including SIG.
And Beretta.
Beretta. So you know, when it comes to those guns, we know it with it, they're known quality.
Well, let me tell you, as a SIG shooter, I've spent a lot of time behind a SIG, specifically the P226 and the P220. I am not a fan of MechGar mags at all. Especially on the 226, because the corners are extremely sharp.
Yeah.
And so if you go to do a reload and you slam that mag in there, as I have done a number of times, you can cut your palm from one side clear to the other.
Girl hands.
You haven't developed those calluses yet, have you?
Well, even though MechGar is the original equipment manufacturer, you will notice some differences between the contracted mags that are made for the actual...
Right.
Gun manufacturer and the ones that are sold to civilians. The finishes are going to be different. The amount of time they spend rounding off corners and stuff are different.
Yes.
That's the reason sometimes you say, oh, well, a SIG branded magazine is, say, $45, but a MechGar magazine that came out of the same factory is $25. Well, the finish is different, the process is a little bit different, and guess what? A little bit more attention to detail might have been put into the specifics that were set forth by SIG in their contract.
I can also tell you that if you get the extended mags for the Meg Car mags, the extended mags, when they hit the ground, they blow up. Okay, your ammo is going all over the place.
A lot of people take that for granted, and especially when they put the extended floor plates on. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some quality extended floor plates, Arredondo, the Glock factory ones, but there are others. Some of the no-name ones you get at gun shows for, you know, three extended magazine base plates for a Glock for like $8. Guess what? The plastic on those, it's so soft, if it's loaded and it hits the concrete, like you said, spontaneous disassembly.
That's right.
It's not pretty.
Yeah. Well, I've gone to the Para Ordnance website, you know, the factory website, see if I can just buy, factory-produced magazines, but I've not been able to find any on that website.
CDNN.com?
CDNN.com?
CDNN.com. They're a catalog service, online catalog service. When you get on that CDNN.com, click on download the catalog. It'll pull up a little PDF-type magazine you can flip through. And I know for a fact they've got original factory magazines in there, and I think they're only like $35 or something. They're not that bad.
Well, and there's also paraproshop.com is like a dedicated Para Ordnance online shopping.
I'm glad somebody else out there understands and respects the Para Ordnance.
Well, you know, some of us have learned better, and we don't run those anymore. But
I've kind of picked that up. There's a difference of opinion amongst the crew there on Para Ordnance. It's just...
But then again, mine's only the original slide frame and barrel. Everything else in there is Ed Brown.
Well, I've had mine for a long time. It's not one of the aluminum. It's a steel gun, and it's straight out of the box. And I mean, I got to admit, all I do is shoot ball ammo in it. But you know, I can't even remember having a hang up on the thing. And I mean, you know, I don't put 1,000 rounds a month through it, but I shoot it some.
Again, even on gun manufacturers that we rag on pretty hard, and there are a few of them we rag on pretty hard, they still make guns that work.
Right.
It's just they have a higher percentage of lemons. If you've had a Para Ordnance for 10 years and it's run you through 5,000, 10,000 rounds and keeps working, it's a good gun. Not everything that we rag on even is going to spontaneously explode.
And not even everything that we like
is going to work. Yeah, I mean, I've broken Glocks before. I mean, it happens.
You know?
It does happen, but I still say again, all we say is some things on a percentage are going to have a higher fail rate than others.
Sure. Stuff happens.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
One other thing. Have you recently replaced your recoil spring in this gun?
No, I have not.
Okay. It's still at the end of the day, basically, a 1911. So, you know, everybody's got their different deal. P13 is basically a commander length.
Right.
So I would recommend, if you haven't done so already, consider replacing your recoil spring. Usually I replace those every 1,500 to 2,500 rounds.
Hmm, okay.
And you won't necessarily notice that the gun is not functioning, but some people can be sensitive enough that they notice that it's bottoming out, so it's recoiling harder than it might have done when it was brand new.
Okay.
So the whole deal is that recoil spring is helping with reliable and positive functioning of that slide.
Okay.
All right. So other than that, like I said, you got paraproshop.com that has, you know, factory original magazines. CDNN is another one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be CDNN Investments.
And then there was also 44mag.com, I think, might have magazines for it, because they've got magazines for almost everything.
Okay. All right. Appreciate the information.
Yes, sir.
Tom, thank you for calling Guns Over Texas. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Houston, if you're on hold, hold on just a bit longer as we'll be right back. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. If you have questions, comments, want to get involved in the show, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Or you can like us on Facebook, Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook. Or you can do GunsOverTexas.com and Guns Over Texas Radio Twitter. You know, all kinds of stuff. Or TexasGunTalk.com and go to the Guns Over Texas Radio section. All right, let's get back to the phone lines and talk to Pam in Cypress. Pam, one of our favorite female listeners and shooters. What do you say, Pam?
Well, good afternoon. How are y'all doing today?
You're calling to my face that you have a shield
and I don't.
Well, I got my shield finally after a 2.5-3 month wait. I finally got it.
Mm-hmm. I understand your pain, but go on.
Well, you know, I'm happy with it. There's a lot that I like about it, and there's also some stuff that I don't like.
Okay.
So,
well, let's get into the important stuff. What don't you like about it?
Well, okay. To me, the trigger is nice compared to the full-size M&P triggers,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like it's a little hard, a little tight,
mm-hmm.
and so what I tend to do with it is I tend to pull instead of squeeze, and so I'm having to retrain myself and get the finger placement right. I'm not accurate with the gun yet, although I know that the gun is accurate because... Mm-hmm. These things, it's the Indian, not the arrow.
Well, it's easier to smooth out a trigger pull than it is to firm it up and make it crisper, because the original M&P or triggers, as we all know, were as crisp as mashed potatoes.
Yes.
So if it comes with a crisp or a firmer trigger, it'll be easier to polish everything out and make it a little bit better for you.
I know Apex has come out with a kit for that also.
For the shield specifically?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's something you could probably buy, and I bet Mr. Mighty could probably install that.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. But it's very snappy,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, it really beats the crap out of your hand.
But the shield is kind of one of those guns that's made to be carried a lot and shot a little, not necessarily that it's unpleasant to shoot, but anytime you take away the mass of the slide and you have a smaller, lighter gun, it's easier to carry, but translates into
curious,
snappier to shoot.
What caliber did you get yours in, Pam?
It's a 9mm,
okay.
and I will not be carrying it as my primary carry gun. It will be, you know, if I cannot for some reason carry my usual gun,
mm-hmm.
then I will resort to carrying, you know, it's just a backup gun only.
Let me ask you this. What did you carry before that, or what was your primary gun before it?
I carried the Springfield XDM 9mm.
Okay.
I know you guys don't like those. But
well, yeah, they
were.
Well, they run. We're just not our favorite,
yeah. Yeah, I love mine. It's,
okay.
It's really awesome. I just, you know, honestly, if there are guys out there that think, well, you know, I'll get my wife or my girlfriend an inexpensive mm-hmm. little gun to have, I would not necessarily recommend the shield if she's never shot before mm-hmm. or if she's kind of, I don't know, delicate or a girly girl.
Gotcha.
Because... Well. It is a very snappy gun. You need to really be able to know what you're doing.
It's about on par with the car, I think, and the other smaller smaller size guns.
I was going
like
to say, it is going to be dependent on the shooter, because our friend Gina, Gina's...
And she's a strong girl.
She's a strong girl, but she's mm-hmm. definitely a petite, you know.
But again, the only way to tame that recoil is going to be to increase the spring weight, which is going to make it harder for a female to rack anyway, or to increase the slide weight, which mm-hmm. defeats the purpose of making the gun smaller to begin with.
Right.
Adding mass or adding spring weight are the only thing you're going to do. Otherwise, you as the shooter are the shock absorber.
Yeah.
And in a life and death situation, I doubt you're going to notice it. But for practice, it could be an issue.
Yeah, it may be. But like what I was saying is that it does depend on the shooter, because Gina absolutely loves the shield, and she's on my Christmas list. She doesn't know it yet, but she's going to get one. So.
Well, now she knows.
No, she doesn't. Yeah. She's in California doing a black belt test. She doesn't know.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great little gun. I mean, I enjoy it. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, you know, it's got its good and it's got its bad. You know, the
like
slide can be the slide can be a little tough
mm-hmm.
to rack as it is.
Right.
I don't have a problem with it, but I could see where, you know, some other women might have issue with racking that slide.
Pam, mm-hmm. how many rounds do you have through it?
I have only put about 200 rounds through it so far. So, you know, I've still got a long way to go to get it broken in and all of that as well. So, and I have yet to break it down and clean it either, so. Yeah.
Well, but you've got a respectable number of rounds through it compared to a lot of other folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the lifetime of the gun for a lot of folks right there.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole thing, too. I mean, you know, she'll get a good workout, you know, at least once or twice a week, so.
I think we're right up around 2,600 or 2,700 rounds through mine, and it's right now it's not an issue for anybody to rack the slide on it.
Yeah, so, well, that's good.
It'll work itself out.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
But that just
means
you need to shoot more, Pam.
Well, I'm up there enough, Jeff.
No such thing, Pam, no such thing. We'll put you on our frequent shooter card.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How's IDPA going for you, Pam?
Oh, my gosh. On Thursday, I scored my first perfect round.
Sweet.
I was slow, but I was accurate, darn it.
clean runs are always a good thing.
Yes, I was extremely happy. In fact, it was a low light. They were all low light stages.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really thought that, you know, I would have, you know, some points down or, you know, well, actually, no, I guess there were points down in that stage. But I thought that I would have had something, missed the headshots or something towards the back. But I managed to get them all. I was shocked. So.
Well, congratulations, really, Pam. We're very happy to see your progress as a shooter, and we mm-hmm. thank you for giving us a call and giving us your take on the shield.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. See ya.
Thank you, Pam. Cyprus is a safer place with an armed Pam walking around.
Indeed. You know, hearing about a clean run, too, just reminds me that if you have a clean run at IDPA, it's great. But if you miss a couple times, well, it just reminds you to slow down and aim a little bit more. But if you're in New York,
yes, indeed.
And you don't exactly have a clean run.
Yes. Yeah. Hold on.
Okay. Oh, we got another caller. We're going to get to that.
But we've had interest in that subject.
It was the perfect segue, and it got blown by another caller.
No, it was blown by Jeff.
Our calls got our calls backed up for a bit. We're going to take care of the calls, and then we're going to get to this New York shooting. Because this is one of the most astounding shootings
I've heard of in a long
time. It's not
that astounding, actually.
To me,
it's par for the course, man.
Let's head out to Conroe. Rob in Conroe. Rob, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Rob?
Hey, Dylan, good afternoon. Hey, you just calling with a quick question. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm trying to figure out, you know, different lubrications and solvents to use on a gun, and usually they're readily available, like Hops 9s, sometimes I use that kind of stuff. But what would you do if, you know, if you're in a situation where those weren't readily available, what would you guys use for maybe an alternative to lubricants and solvents on your gun?
If you're desperate, you can use motor oil.
Motor oil.
And actually, that's not even necessarily a desperate thing. I know a lot of guys who run Mobil 1.
Yeah, Mobil 1. It's actually, by volume, cheaper than almost any other oil, too.
Get a
quart of Mobil 1 for $10, and that'll last you for your life.
Yeah. Right.
The only thing that I find worse about motor oil than anything else is it stains your clothes a little bit more.
Right.
The lighter weight oils, obviously, are kind of made to be worn in a gun that's inside the waistband. The Mobil 1 is not really made for that, but it works great on the gun.
Okay, so I guess you just shop at thrift stores and be all right then with the clothes.
Yeah. I mean, you can certainly do that. Now, I personally tend to run grease because I don't want it running out of the gun. And so, you know, some of your light lithium greases, light moly greases that are using automotive, you know, now not motor assembly grease, that's too heavy.
Yeah.
But some of the lighter greases, like the stuff we use in, you know, old ball joints and that kind of thing, work just fine.
Frog lube?
And I coined the term frog snot, but frog lube is a very good product.
And frog lube being basically almost clear, not white, but you know, almost clear, it's not going to stain your stuff up.
Yeah, it's plant based. It doesn't seem to stain. Doesn't have a funky smell to it.
It seems to work minty. Okay.
Yeah. But if you're field expedient in the, you know, need something, you're out in the middle of nowhere, you can just take your dipstick out of your car and rub it across a rag and rub it on your gun, and you're good to go.
Yeah. Well, and John Farnham taught us for years, you know, for those of us who are running diesel engines, diesel fuel is
diesel
both
fuel,
a
transmission
and
fluid.
Lubricant. So, yeah. Yep.
All that'll work in a pinch.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. And one more quick thing for y'all.
Yes,
you all were talking about the PRO.
Yes,
the aim point.
Yep.
Yeah, you said that. Well, did you say it was night vision compatible or not? I was looking and I thought it was, but was I just reading it saying it had nighttime settings and getting confused there?
I think it has nighttime settings, but I just started looking into it, so I haven't confirmed whether or not it's got the night vision.
I was
settings.
Under the impression that was part of the cost cutting measures they did. Now, if it has night vision features on it and I misquoted, well, wouldn't be my first mistake.
Well, I mean, you can easily just dial the intensity down so that it would still be compatible with night vision, because historically, night vision would just be switches over to the IR spectrum.
Yeah.
But
the other thing that makes it different is it actually comes with a mount and so forth, so you don't have to worry about, oh, I just spent $600 on an optic,
now
I got to go buy $150 on a mount.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to bet with my wife, so now I'm looking to get an optic from the Fed.
Aimpoint Pro is a good one,
at.
Man. You can't really mess up with one of those.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm putting on my new rifle. So, well, thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
All right,
thank you, Rob. I'm still looking for that Trigicon SRS. That has been the hardest to find optic. I had the option to buy one about 2 months ago.
And you missed
it. And I turned it down. Little did I know it was the only one I was
You know, I had the option
find.
To buy an M&P when they first came out, a shield. And little did I know. I said to the guy that had it, I said, no, sell that to a customer, you know, and I'll just get the next one that comes
Learned
in.
Learned your lesson, didn't you?
Yeah, you know. Well,
see, I got lucky. One of my students bought mine. He called me up. He was at a shop. And he goes, hey, they've got two of them. I'll take it.
Well, good thing you didn't wait on certain gun shop owners.
All right. So let's go back to our Empire State Building shooting.
Yeah.
Let's reset
it. Let's see.
We've got one shooter. Deranged gunman, mad at, he'd been fired.
No. Well, I mean, he wasn't, you know, this wasn't your mass shooter.
He had a bone to pick
with one guy. And he got the guy. He went and picked that bone clean.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then tried to walk away.
Two construction workers followed him and pointed him out to police officers.
Well, yeah, if you just saw somebody pop a dude in the dome, that might be cause to say something to the police about it.
That's kind of ballsy.
Even in New York.
Yeah.
Kind of ballsy of the construction workers to follow him. Because if he kept looking over his shoulder
and
noticed, hey, these guys have been behind me for a block or two.
He could have turned around and smoked them.
That's right.
You never know.
Yeah.
So those guys.
So they get huge props from us for being civic-minded citizens.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the two police officers that, two NYPD officers that got on his trail and went after him. Mm-hmm. They unleashed a fury on innocent bystanders.
Well, hold on. I mean, the thing is that if you watch the video, these guys were, one of them, it was almost like he went, holy crap, he pulled a gun on me and started moving over, trying to get out of the way. They did not
witness the shooting. These guys came up and said, hey, he just shot somebody. And there's a dude standing there in a coat with his hands in his pocket.
Yeah.
They walk up behind him like, hey, you, we need to talk to you.
Right.
And the guy immediately turns and draws.
Right.
It's from the time they walk up behind him, they're maybe 3 to 5 yards behind him when they say, hey, you. He turns around.
And he spins around with
a gun
in his hand.
And it's from the time he starts turning till the time he's on the ground dead is probably about
three seconds, four seconds tops.
Yeah. I don't even think it goes to 4 seconds. It's about 3 seconds.
It's quick.
It's 16, 17 rounds flying.
One officer and 7 from another.
Yeah. So it's over quick. That's a quick IDPA scenario. Turn and fire. And they lit him up with 9 of their 16
9
rounds.
9 out of 16.
Which is pretty good.
That's darn
good. But those other rounds still found something to hit.
Yep.
On a crowded New York street at 9 o'clock in the morning, there is no chance of getting a clear line of fire. That's part of the problem there. And those officers could have stood there and let him shoot rounds at them, which would have endangered the people behind the officers.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those where I don't think there's any right answer.
No, I don't think that there was going to be any
answer. That's the no-win scenario.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at the angles, it's like, you know, they're either going to be firing into traffic, firing onto the sidewalk, or firing into a building. There's no good way to shoot anybody in that situation.
In New York City, no. Yeah. Especially not in rush hour on foot. There's just no way. And in front of a big place like the Empire State Building where it's packed with tourists and everybody else, there was not going to be a good outcome of that no matter what. Now, fortunately, they didn't kill anybody except the bad guy.
Right.
But they did light up 9 civilians.
Yes. And the thing is that, you know, we're looking at we got 9 out of 16 rounds. So that's over 50%.
Yeah.
Which,
but at 3 yards, I would hope.
Well, but, HPD's number, and I can't remember where I got this from. I think I actually got this from...
I think it's in the low 20 percentile for
it. It was 38% one year. And they were proud of that number because it was one of the highest in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but when you're qualling, the target has a tendency to hold still for you
and not shoot back.
No. It makes things a lot easier.
I'm talking 38% of their actual on-duty shootings.
I know, but... Yeah. In real life, the target doesn't want to hold still for
you and get shot, and it tends to want to shoot back. Yes, it's a totally different thing from qualifying,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the our hang-up is that they qualify so infrequently, and the qualifying standard's only 70%.
And the qualifying standard is you stand still, and it'll stand still.
And you know when to turn, and you know when it's going to be there.
And you're practicing, today's the day I'm going to go shoot.
Yeah.
Not I'm sitting here in my car minding my own business, and rounds start coming through the windshield.
Yes.
You know?
So we're not going to be the guys who dog the cops out.
No, I just hope the city of New York is going to back up, step up and back those guys.
They might, but I just don't have that kind of faith in them. And I think that's always been my hesitation with doing that job has been knowing that there's that liability out there. And not knowing whether or not there are departments that would stand.
They
up.
Do have the reasonable officer standard, though. I don't know what the law is in New York compared to Texas and all.
Yeah.
But usually it will go before a jury. And it'll, you know, would a reasonable officer have acted in this exact manner and blah, blah, blah? Yeah. I don't think they acted unreasonably in the least.
No.
So the department, are they within the training standards that they were taught? If somebody's drawing and firing at you, you can fire back. I think they're within policy. And if they're within policy and didn't break the law, well, the department's going to have to take the hit, not the individual officers.
But this isn't the first time NYPD has had...
thrown someone under the bus and backed up.
Well, and not only that, it's also not the first time that they've had innocent civilians get shot. NYPD didn't start using hollow point ammunition until here in the last 15 years because for the longest time, well, we don't need dum-dum bullets. And then they had like 25 people get shot over the course of like 10 years. And somebody finally went, you know, this is getting expensive.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Solid ball ammo tends to zip right through people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Does anybody know how bad the bystanders got hurt? Because I read an article
ricochets.
That said that like two or three people were actually shot, and the others were hit by
ricochets or fragments.
Yes. So the injury, nine people shot is obviously an exaggeration. Two or three that actually hit by bullets. And obviously by the number of people who were hit, some of those rounds did pass through our perp.
There's no question. He was shot in the chest and in the lower, in the arms
and
the
legs.
Arms and legs ain't typically thick enough to stop anything. So
fortunately, the bad guy slowed down the bullet enough that it didn't
hurt
the next people.
Yes.
Oh, well. But I don't see how this could happen anyway, though, because according to Bloomberg, there are no handguns in the city, and it was the safest place in the country.
That was the thing that I was predictable, because initially he got up on his high horse, as he always does. And, mm-hmm. We can't have guns. And I'm going, your cops were the guys who were responsible for
And what's he going to propose? That we do the same thing that he did in Australia and Great Britain and Canada? We'll just take the guns away from the cops.
New York lawmakers have already started saying that they're going to double down on the current gun laws.
Of course.
As if they've done any good whatsoever.
They have.
Do we know where this gun came from yet?
No. We don't know if it was legally purchased.
Yeah,
or
that's. I mean,
well,
that's
chances true. Are, the thing is,
it probably was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our most recent high-profile incidents have all been legally purchased. Mm-hmm. But
Now, the same day that this happened at the Empire State Building, 19 people were killed by gunfire in Chicago, but we didn't hear anything about that.
Well, they weren't
when
important.
It's same race on same race, that's not going to get anybody stirred up.
Exactly.
We want to stir up. Chicago does have some of the worst gun laws in the United States right there with New York.
They do. Actually, last I checked, Chicago is worse. Chicago is very much like D.C. was prior to the Heller decision although D.C. still is effectively like that. The deal is that guns have been banned effectively in Chicago since the 70s. You can't legally own a handgun in Chicago.
Then how does everybody keep getting shot?
Well, you know, they're claiming that
there are these freeways
and neighboring
concrete roads.
Yeah, they're going to neighboring areas.
You just drive right out of the city limits. You can buy them.
Yeah. Even though you need a FOID card just to buy ammunition.
Yeah.
In Illinois. I guess the whole deal is that there's a lot of folks that are wanting to hear our commentary on this, and we can't reasonably bash the cops per se. I do wish that there was better shooting, but they did the best they could, and it was the best training they had.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if they qualified more than once per year, they
I don't think
might.
It's just a matter of qualifying.
Well,
I don't think it's – I think that there's an issue
that is
of,
more time behind the gun, which
– That is more time behind the gun.
Those cops are backpedaling. The bad guy is moving. There's crowds of people running in every direction. It's just not going to be a good outcome
it's
no
not.
Matter what.
But it's going to be worse if you don't have a lot of
if
training.
You do, and horribly enough, I already heard – and it was – it was Fox, so it really bothered me because normally Fox is a little bit more pro-cop than this. Mm-hmm. But why couldn't they just taser him? Why did they
have
that
kind of
time? Because that 1911 he was carrying.
There was a female reporter, and they had some spokesman for NYPD on there, and she wanted to know how come they didn't taser him or tackle him, why they had to actually shoot him, or why they didn't shoot the gun out of his hand, which I still love every time I hear it. You could do it, Monty, couldn't you?
Every day.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And then you watch the video, because at first I'm like, what? Did they have one of these classic standoffs where he stood and waved the gun for 10 minutes?
No, and they didn't. That's
and then I finally saw the video, I'm like, whoa! Wait, shoot
There's
the gun
no
out
time.
Of his hand?
Absolutely
what the hell?
No, time.
No.
It went from zero to SHTF in no time.
And even if they had tased him, when you tase people, they tend to tense up. And when they're holding a gun, they
That's
tend to squeeze triggers. Yeah, tasering and guns really don't work too well at all.
What do you think about the shooting, Houston? Give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738.
Now, speaking of shootings, we were discussing this. Jason and I were discussing this. We found some information that a lot of media outlets just didn't mention about the incident we had in Texas at College Station.
And how did we find out about it? Through something called a press release.
Yes, through a press release.
That apparently nobody wants to report on in the press.
Yeah, the official press release from College Station PD regarding that shooting was that the first person to make a 911 call was, in fact, a CHL holder, and he was also returned fire.
No. Well, let me scratch that. We haven't. We can't 100% confirm it was a CHL holder. It was an armed individual.
Yes, an armed civilian.
An armed civilian who was actually the boyfriend of the woman who was shot. The woman that was shot riding in her car, about a 75 or 100-yard long shot.
Yeah.
She had just pulled into a driveway down the street where they were going to move her daughter in. Mm-hmm. And in pulling into the driveway, I don't even think she made it out of the vehicle. He lit up the car as it was driving in.
Yeah.
Boyfriend was already at the house and saw girlfriend get lit up in the driveway. Mm-hmm. And he called the cops along with several other people, but he was the first one. And then he did engage with, I believe, the rumor is, it didn't say in the article, the rumor was with the 1911.
Yeah, but although the report says small caliber handgun.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
Again, we can't confirm. It is officially confirmed in the police report, though, that he did return fire in the direction of the gunman. And apparently didn't hit the gunman, but got his attention enough to get him off the porch and back into the house.
Yep.
All right.
And I found only one press report that indicated that. Mm-hmm. And it was from the Eagle, which is a local newspaper in College Station.
Kind of surprised you even found that one, man.
That was the only one that I found that actually mentioned all the facts that were in the press release. Mm-hmm. Nobody else covered that stuff.
They're still sorting out because there's probably 50 or 60 different witness statements that they have to sort out and figure out who said what and where and what exact timelines were. So it's still a little bit fuzzy. The unfortunate thing we know is that the officer was shot as he walked up the sidewalk. He didn't even get to the front door, never drew his gun. He simply pulled up in the front, parked, and was walking up to the front door with the papers. And apparently the shooter simply opened the front door and opened fire on him. And after he shot him several times, walked out, executed him, took his pistol, and then began firing into the area. So he executed the officer and then disarmed him.
Yep. And that's sad.
Went about his business.
You know, that officer, there were something like 3,000 people that showed up to his funeral.
Yeah.
So that's a shame that College Station really lost a good one.
Yeah.
Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas, and we'll get right to your calls as we get back. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. If you don't have your CHL yet, you need to get your CHL now. You can give Shiloh Shooting Range a call at 281-444-8930. That's 281-444-8930. And sign up for your concealed handgun license today. Fellas, let's head straight out to the phone lines. Let's go out to Spring Branch. We got Robert on line one. Robert, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Robert?
How are you doing?
Great, sir. Fire away.
Got a question. I had a 38 given to me back in early 90s. I bought a box of 38 shells. I've never fired the gun. I've never used any of the shells. Are they still good?
Where were you storing them, in the house, or were they
stored? Am I on now?
Yeah, okay. You're on.
So start over again.
Where were you storing the ammo all this time? Was it kept in a nice air-conditioned, humidity-controlled environment like the house, or did you have them in the attic or the garage or what?
They've been in a drawer in my dresser.
Okay, they should be good to go.
Yeah. As
long as they're kept at room temperature and stuff, ammo will last you 50, 60 years easy. It's not going to go anywhere. They've got World War I stuff that the Russians still push out and try to sell to folks.
Actually, this Tuesday, I shot a 1961 Colt lightweight Commander that had three boxes of ammunition from the day the guy bought it.
Wow.
And this the guy had died and he handed it down. This was his son-in-law that brought it in. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty cool.
So you shot up his ammo. His dad's legacy heirloom ammo.
Wow. Just a little bit, and he said he offered. He offered.
Uh-huh. And you took advantage of it.
Well, it's not every day you get a chance to shoot a gun and ammo that's, you know, 60 years old.
Yeah, not every day you get a chance to shoot a gun and ammo. I just don't arrange and get hundreds of people in your house.
But how often do you get something
I
like
understand.
That,
you know?
Yeah.
Your ammo should be good to go. You shouldn't have any problems with it as long as it was stored properly.
Who do you recommend I might take this gun to have somebody look at it, make sure it's in good shape and everything? This was given to me, and I know nothing about the gun.
The folks at Shiloh, I'm sure, could have a look at it.
Yeah. You can certainly bring it by the shop. They'll take a look at it. You know, just basic mechanical checks to see that it, you know, is this a revolver or an autoloader?
It's a revolver.
Okay. Well, you know, typically revolvers have a shelf life of like 400 years. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's as long as it's not a Rossi or something like that. If it's a Smith or a Colt or a Ruger, it's probably going to be good to go.
I think it's a Smith and Wesson. Yeah.
Chances are the gun
chances
is
are it's good
fine,
to go.
But yeah, you can certainly bring it by. They can do the very basic checks. Beyond that, if you really wanted to be sure, you could, of course, actually could send it to Smith and Wesson if we verify that that's what it is.
All right. What's your address?
12703 Shiloh, Shiloh, Church Road. That's about a mile and a quarter east of Willowbrook Mall, just off of FM 1960.
Ah, okay. Anything in the Spring Branch area you might recommend?
Memorial Oaks?
Yeah, well, there's also, what's the one right off Whitty?
Yeah, it's Memorial Oaks.
Okay, I didn't know the, got the name wrong.
Memorial Oaks or Memorial Shooting Center.
Memorial Shooting Center is what it's called.
Okay. All right. You guys have a good day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's head out to Meadows Place and talk to Kip. Kip, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Kip?
We lost him.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, pretty good.
You left your radio on in the background, Kip. I can hear us talking back there.
Calling and I are listening to the show. You caught me. I was coughing at the time. About the New York shooting?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think that was a classic case of the Kobayashi Maru.
Yes.
That's Star Trek nerd to the heart.
I figured Gary would know what that was.
It is a no-win situation.
Exactly. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's the scenario that everybody goes through at the Star Trek Starfleet Academy or whatever, and Captain Kirk is the only guy who ever passed the test.
Only because he reprogrammed the
Correct.
System so he could win.
Exactly, he cheated.
You know who would have passed the test every time? Jedis.
Yes.
Star Wars.
No, they still would have had to do what Captain Kirk did. They would have had to reprogram.
Welcome to Nerds Over Texas, folks.
Hey, I have an inner geek. Get over it.
I do, too. And the only Star Trek movie I will ever sit through and ever appreciate is Wrath of Khan. Everything else is worthless. The TV series, The Next Generation,
so you just
all the nine other shows.
Ricardo Montalban with a prosthetic chest.
Okay.
Is that what
hey,
it is?
Jason, you and my wife, that's her favorite, too.
That's the only Star Trek movie you can ever sit through. And I'll sit through it every time it comes on.
Because he likes seeing Ricardo Montalban with a prosthetic chest.
Yeah, like when you watch it in HD now, I try to see where Kirk's toupee begins and ends. You know?
Okay.
One other question.
Yes, sir.
Getting back to the bank switches.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a gun place this weekend, and it was interesting. I've never been to one where somebody tried to force sell me something. They kept pushing this pistol on me, even to the point that when I was went to buy something that was less expensive, he went ahead and added that to it.
What a jerk!
And then, you know, gave me this price. I'm going, no, I don't think so. But the question was, if I have a 5.56 upper for my AR, mm-hmm. I can shoot the 223, but which is the more accurate load through it?
You know, that's going to depend on the upper. Every individual gun's different, and mm-hmm. everybody's got a different chamber lead. Basically, that leap that the bullet has to make after it leaves the case until it engages.
Because every cutting tool that cut that chamber is a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, try both and see which one looks.
And yours is marked 5.56.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. If as long as it's marked 5.56, you can shoot 223 all day long. If it's marked 223, I would not shoot 5.56.
Oh, you can't. I knew that. I knew
you can, but it'll eventually. It may or may not. Yeah, it won't end well if it doesn't work.
Well, no, that's why I was kind of wanting the other, because I'd have the both the best worlds. But I took it out this morning with a friend before church, and even with iron sights at 50 yards, 4-inch groups wasn't bad. First time ever shooting.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's going to be the best bullet for Kip to put in a 1-in-7 twist? 5.567.
Heavier bullets in the 1-in-7s. If you have a 1-in-9, it likes the 55 to 64 grain. If you have the 1-in-7, it likes the 64 to 77 grain. It'll shoot any of the weights at all, but it's going to group tighter with heavier weights and the faster twist.
That's what I've read. Yeah. Now, the next question is, since I've got a little short-barreled upper, when are we going to start hitting on a helicopter? Which, if I can say, if anybody's listening, I don't know if this is against whatever. It's on TV. Sportsman's Channel tonight is the new Pigopolis, or the new.
Yeah, I think it's Ted Nugent's on that.
Yeah, Ted Nugent tonight at 10.
Yes.
Oh, sweet! If Nugent's on it, you can count me in as watching it. Can't wait to hear what that guy's going to say. We appreciate you calling, and we appreciate you, of course, coming to the range, coming to Shiloh Shooting Range, and shooting with us, and buying stuff from us. We definitely appreciate that, Kip. You're welcome back anytime.
So especially with money.
Houston, and your P30 is waiting on you, Kip. Houston, we're going to take a commercial break. This is our long one, so we'll be back in about 6 minutes with more Guns Over Texas.
KSEV, the voice of Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Welcome back to the second hour of Guns Over Texas, Houston.
We have entirely too much fun off the air.
If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Or you can get us on Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook. GunsOverTexasRadio.com, and Guns Over Texas Radio Twitter, which I will never, ever be a part of. All right, let's head out to the phone lines.
You don't want to get on with, like, Twitchy with Michelle Malkin?
We didn't.
I don't even know what that means.
We didn't solve the break conversation of what's more manly, ducks or kittens.
Okay.
We went there.
Before you throw stones, you live in a glass house, mister.
I am not the one who went and got the ducks. That was
no,
the women
but you were the one who took them to the shelter.
Who named them and had them at your home.
Okay, so I'm the poor sap who got roped into taking them to the wildlife preserve or whatever it was. But you're the guy who has to post all the photos of
look never
at me cuddling my new kitty.
Never post
Facebook.
Those photos.
Oh, yeah.
My wife posts those photos.
Using your account?
She tags me in them and it shows up on my wall.
Oh, okay.
Jason. Pictures of Jason snuggling his kitty with his girly hands.
Oh. And his man purse.
That's right.
Coach.
And my purple sock holster.
His tote, as he called it earlier. All right. Let's head out to Missouri City and talk to Barry. Barry, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Barry?
Hey, guys. What's going on today?
Oh, just a whole lot of fun, man.
I figured you'd be the right people to call. I need a little advice.
All right.
I'm looking to go for my concealed.
Okay.
But the two guns I got are a little bit big to be concealing. So
what kind
other
of guns
than a
do you
Glock.
Have?
I have a judge and a 1911 range officer.
Well, right. The 1911 is actually doable for concealed carry if you've got the right holster and the right belt.
That's something that a lot of people never consider, is that the belt is where carrying, that's where it all begins. Mm-hmm. You've got to have the right belt. And if you have the right belt, you can carry anything you want. Now, if you're just wearing a regular belt that you picked up at Macy's or Penny's or something like that, well, that's not going to work for you, especially if you're trying to carry a 1911.
Yeah.
Now, you can get a really nice-looking belt that you would never look at it and think that's a gun belt. I've been wearing the same CompTac belt for 5 years now, and it still looks new. And it's I can put on 2-3 guns and not have to worry about pulling my pants up every step I take. So
that's the concern, yeah.
Yeah, the right belt is where it all begins. And that's Gary and I's favorite belt is from CompTac, CompTac, like competitive tactical, CompTac.com.
Yeah, well, while we're talking about that belt, the things that set her apart are that, one, it's a contoured belt. It's pre-contoured. So if you were to take a belt that you've worn for a number of years and look at it, you'll notice that it actually has a contour to it. And the CompTac belts come with that contour built into them, so they're a very comfortable belt. But they also, the secret sauce is that they've got a Kydex insert that's part of the construction of the belt that gives it that rigidity that helps it support the weight of the gun. And if you carry a 1911, there's no other belt that I would recommend. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you want to look at something else, you know, I'm more than glad to recommend something else.
511 nylon belt.
Yeah. 511 nylon belt is an okay choice. It just it's
got the rigidity in it. It's got the plastic insert. It's got the adjustability.
It screams gun belt to me.
It does, but whenever I'm wearing it, I have my shirt untucked anyway. Well, so I wear it because it's comfortable, and you can't see the gun or the holster anyway.
Says the guy who's dressed like he just fell off of Miami Vice.
Dude, I look good. don't even talk about this.
Oh, man. You know which is worse, the Ducks or the Miami Vice?
You should see him. I mean, he's got this George Clooney-looking haircut and the 5
pastels.
O'clock shadow. I mean,
and
dude,
he's purple
does he
pastel.
Not look like a little short Sonny Crockett?
No, he stepped out of a 1990s
tall,
club video, like a New Order video from the early 90s or something there.
Oh, see, I was thinking you were going to say...
Straight out of Chess King or Merry-Go-Round out of the old Memorial City.
What was the movie with John Travolta where he was in the disco stuff?
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Oh,
God. Oh my gosh.
I would go with more of a Footloose with the skinny tie.
Yeah, Footloose, on. Yes.
Mm, yeah.
You want to chime in some more, Monty? Huh? Having fun here?
I'm just coming from church, all right? Let's just, you know, lay
so off you were
there.
Picking chicks up at the church? So,
I gotta look good!
Chicks, ducks, whatever.
Now,
we're hard.
Barry, do you have any guns that you're considering buying and you want to get some advice on them?
Well, the problem is everyone's trying to feed me on a Glock, and it just feels really, really light.
Okay.
And I like to have a little bit of weight to it. Just I know they shoot great. And
when
I
you fill them with bullets, they tend to get a little bit heavier.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, I mean, they tend to get a lot heavier.
Hey, I was an anti-Glock fanatic for a long time. I would not drink the Kool-Aid until I was forced to. I was issued one. And at one of the training academies during, you know, okay, this is your Glock 19, you have to carry it. Mm-hmm. And I whined and complained. And after about 3,000 rounds in the academy, I was like, wow, this thing is great.
It works.
When somebody finally forced me to have to try it, and I had no choice, now I realize the benefits of it. You know,
it shot real nice. I shot my first one, my first Glock last weekend, and it shot real nice, and it was beautiful. It just feels, and maybe you just have to get used to it. But
going to other platforms.
Now, I'll say this. Don't go slapping people with the gun, but I don't recommend doing that with any gun. But, you know, the thing is that when you actually wear a gun for 18, 20 hours a day,
yep.
You start appreciating the benefits of a lighter gun.
When I've gone through a Beretta, an HK, a SIG, a Glock, that Glock really is a good thing.
You know, I'm a 1911 guy. I still love my 1911s.
And a 1911 for me, yeah.
And I don't typically carry my 1911s anymore for a lot of reasons, but one of them is the sheer weight of the gun compared to my Glock 19 or my M&P Shield or any of the guns that I have. They're significantly lighter. If I carry a 1911 anymore, mm-hmm. it tends to be an aluminum frame 1911 specifically to reduce the weight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So as you start carrying, Barry, you'll realize that, you know, that nice heavy metal frame that makes it really easy to shoot is a little bit little tougher to carry than
right.
that plastic frame.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the balance, I guess.
Yeah.
Start off slow, like carrying around the house, whatever it is you want to carry, put it on, carry it around the house. That way you don't even have to worry about being out or printing or whatever, and just sit down with it on the sofa. Sit at your dining room table. Do your chores around the house wearing it. Feel how it feels moving around with it all day.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
and you may find, you know, I'll say this, and you know, my wife used to give me, you know, some flack about this. She was like, you know, guns are like shoes to you. Well, yeah, they are. So you have different guns for different modes of dress. You have different guns for different times of the year. Wintertime, when I can get away with carrying a heavier gun, yeah, I'll carry a full-size gun. I'll carry a Glock 35.
And if you're dressed like a Monty, you'd carry a Bren 10.
Yes, in a Miami rig.
In a, I'll go jackass rig.
See, I was trying not to say.
Sorry, folks. We had to get back to bashing Monty in the Miami Vice outfit. Little Bren 10 joke for you.
Haters going
to
hate, folks.
Well, Barry, we appreciate you calling us, man, and we appreciate you listening to Guns Over Texas. And if you want to come out and shoot, you know, a Glock, an XD, an M&P, you can come out to Shiloh Shooting Range, and that way you know what you're getting yourself into before you make that investment in your carry gun.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Barry.
Yes, sir.
And not to mention, Shiloh Shooting Range is a great place to get your CHL. We just finished redoing the CHL classrooms, and it is fine. Really nice. They've been walled in now, completely sheetrocked in.
It's
so
a lot colder,
a lot sound, they're soundproof and, well, as close to soundproof as we can get.
Better,
but
air, the air conditioning is going to stay in the room and not run down the staircase.
That's
now.
That's right.
Ah, yes. That's
and
important.
Not to mention a lot of granite for the tables and everything. It is a really...
Granite tabletop?
Yeah, it is.
My
fine.
God.
God. It is fine.
They're obviously charging too much for those classes up there. Look at
that. You know? Well, they're putting the money to good use.
Yes, they
are. That's right. We're making our customers more comfortable. All right, let's head out to Clear Lake and talk to Jeff. Jeff, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Jeff?
Good day, sirs. I've been shooting for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. I'm in my mid-60s. But the price is now getting to the point. I've never done it because it just wasn't worth it. I could always get surplus ammunition. But I'm looking at reloading.
Okay. Welcome to the club.
And I got zero background on this. So you're talking to a pure, absolute novice.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of research on the web and trying to read up on it, mm-hmm. and everybody claims they're the best.
All right. Well,
as far as what?
As far as, like, presses and that sort of thing?
The press, the dies. So I'm looking for a recommendation.
Okay.
I mean, I'm an engineer, so mm-hmm. I can figure things out, but okay. I need good tools.
Okay. Dylan.
I'll throw another vote in for Dylan. Now, Hornady makes a decent press, but I guess it's biased from the number of years I've run Dylan presses.
Well, I started off on a single stage rock chucker doing every individual thing. So trust me when I say you want a progressive press, and Dylan makes a good product, and they've got a lot of years of experience behind it, and they've got a lot of accessories,
and they have probably one of the best warranties I've ever heard of.
Yeah,
I mean, they're right up there with Loophole in terms of a no BS, we'll fix it warranty.
Yeah.
I have multiple calibers. I collect World War II weapons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I've got Russian, German.
Well, let me ask you that. Okay, so the first deal is if you're looking for rifle, I still tend to go single stage for rifle presses. And in that regard, the RCBS standard rock chucker works just fine. But if it's high volume, semi-automatic rifle or handgun, then I will swing back toward Dylan for that. And it's a matter of, yes, sir.
I got a mixed bag. Okay. Probably I shoot my M1A and my AR-15 for fun.
Okay.
More than the others, but I still like getting out the M1 Garand and the M1 Carbine.
Okay.
And the P-17, and
Okay.
So.
Well, a Dylan 550 or 650 would be a good choice. Now, that's kind of the middle of the road for the Dylan catalog. There's also the square deals, but square deals are designed to be primarily for handgun reloading. The 550 is kind of their bread and butter reloading press. I haven't looked at their prices lately because it's been a long time since I had to buy a press, but you're probably looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 to $400 bucks, maybe a little bit
more. Now, would that be... for a kit or just for the press itself?
That is just the press. You'll need to buy dies, and most likely, since you're dealing with different calibers, you'll want to just buy different heads and set that head up with whatever caliber you want to set it up for. And that's going to bring me to the 650, because the 650 is auto-indexing and auto-priming, which is not the case on the 550. The 550 is auto-priming but not auto-indexing.
Well, in addition to the rifles, I've also got a couple Lugers, a P-38,
okay.
Smith & Wesson revolver, Webley,
okay.
And 1911. So, okay. I need a pretty good variety.
Well, in that case, I would still go towards a 650. You would just buy the heads that you want. And what I would even recommend, and this is what this is the ideal setup for a lot of folks, is that you actually run two presses, one setup for small primers and one setup for large primers, so that you don't have to go through changing out the primer. The priming system on the 650 is fairly easy to swap out, but if you were to go from a large primer to a small primer cartridge, you're looking at like a 15 to 30 minute swap out time, whereas if you can just change out that shell plate and the head, it's like 5 minutes. And so what a lot of guys will do is they'll run one 650 that's set up for all their small primer cartridges and another 650 that's set up for all of their large primer cartridges. And then some guys will say,
650 would be the place to start.
I like the 650 because there's all the automation tools are out there for it. There's an auto bullet feeder. There's an auto case feeder. There's almost a machine that will just simply, run the RAM for you. If you're a really high volume shooter, you step up to a 1050, but that's I think a $1,600 or $2,000 piece of equipment, which may or may not be useful for you. Now, if you shoot a lot of military brass, then that actually could be a good idea.
Well, the 30-06 and the 223-556, mm-hmm. The 308, that's all military. But
okay. Well, and the reason I mentioned that the 1050 on those calibers is because a lot of times those primer pockets have been swaged, they're crimped, and so you want to be able to swage them out before you stick a new primer in it, and 1050 has that feature built into it. But
wow. Okay, so it's Dillon 650. And if I'm ready to step up serious, maybe I ought to start with the 650 and I really get into it and I think I'm going to like it, then I could add the 1050 for...
Yeah, I mean, to me, the 650 is just kind of the balls of the wall. Just, it does everything.
You could probably look around on Craigslist or some other shooting boards and you might be able to find one.
Yeah.
Okay, and would the warranty carry with that if I didn't...
Yeah, Dillon's warranty doesn't tend to, hang up on whether or not you were the original guy to buy it.
It's on the machine. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Well, that's what I needed to know. I got a place to start, and it helps resolve some of my confusion.
Yes,
sir.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate you calling Guns Over Texas, and we appreciate your contribution. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you're on hold, hold on just a bit longer. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. Questions, comments, want to get involved in the fun? Give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's head right out to Katie and talk to Karen. Karen, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Karen?
Hi, guys. How are y'all today?
We're doing good. How are you?
Doing fine. I wanted to tell the gentleman that was just on the phone with y'all mm-hmm. about reloading.
Mm-hmm.
I reload with RCBS,
mm-hmm.
and I've done that for years. It's wonderful. If he goes deer or hog hunting, mm-hmm. he might want to look at investing in some Barnes bullets.
Right.
They are the best bullets that I have come across when I... deer hunt or
yeah,
large,
Barnes is
large.
Yeah, Barnes is definitely top notch as a hunting bullet. No question about it.
Exactly, they are phenomenal.
Yep.
And holsters.
Yes, ma'am.
This was the first weekend I've been able to come home and spend it with my husband. Instead of taking care of my mama, I needed a break mm-hmm. and went out and got myself a new holster. For my shield.
Uh-huh. What'd you get?
I got a Tagua.
Oh,
and it makes all the difference in the world. I didn't realize how much, it could, trying to conceal
right.
a weapon, an inch riding too high,
mm-hmm.
Can really be uncomfortable.
Right.
Or riding too low can be uncomfortable. And this makes a big difference.
And what brand was that again?
The Tagua.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. It's a leather manufacturer.
Sir.
And
yes,
did you
sir.
Get the one that just covers the trigger guard, or did you get the one that's actually like a pocket holster?
It goes inside the waistband. It covers, it goes all the way up to where all the complete trigger, and we actually had to cut out just a smidge so it didn't accidentally hit the thumb release for the magazine.
Got you.
And but it is very, very comfortable. I've also ordered the flash bang for it.
Cool.
Because, you know, I plan on carrying that way as well. And if I keep finding holsters that work well, I could follow any direction I want, and my husband would be able to, he'd be covered at that point because it didn't matter if I fell forward, backward, sideways, he'd be able to find something on me if he needed to.
Yeah, that sounds like John Farnham.
Yeah.
we were joking about that. Exactly. It's like, I keep going the way I'm going. He's covered.
Now, Karen, let me ask you this. You're the second female caller we've had that's carrying a shield right now. Did you hear Pam's opinion on the shield?
Yes, I did. And as a matter of fact, I ran into Pam today.
Oh, cool.
Up at the range. She's very pleasant.
Oh, well, good. Glad y'all got to meet each other. Now,
yes,
how do you feel about the shield shooting it?
I love the shield. I have my gun hand is a weaker hand because I had a donkey bite.
Mm.
That happens commonly, doesn't it?
It does.
You hear day in and day out about carpal tunnel syndrome, donkey bites. it's just rampant through the shooting community.
Yeah, I almost lost two fingers to a damn donkey bite.
Happens to me every week, ma'am.
My hand is not as strong, okay. And it does snap.
Yep.
It is a very snappy gun. And it took me a long time to find a gun that I was comfortable shooting when it came to my full size, Smith & Wesson 9.
Right.
And I wanted something a little bit smaller, easier to conceal.
Mm-hmm.
And when the shield came out, I fell in love with it. Now, I shoot it. I practice with it. I've only been able to practice with it twice now since I've gotten it. Yeah, since I'm taking care of my mama.
Right.
But I love it. I cannot practice with it as much as I can with my full size. I can practice with my full size all day long and throw hundreds of rounds downrange. Not a problem.
Gotcha.
But you're comfortable carrying it.
Yes, sir, I am. And my groupings are good. I'm still breaking it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as tight of a grouping because it is snappy.
Gotcha.
But
we'll learn to master that gun, Karen.
Yes,
we have
sir.
Faith that you can do that.
Yes,
And thank you for calling Guns Over Texas. We appreciate you giving us a call. It's always great to hear from the women in the shooting community. And we look
thank
forward to
very
seeing
much,
you at the
guys.
Range again soon.
Yes,
thanks,
ma'am.
Karen.
Thank you.
Gary, have you noticed a certain type of ammo working better than others in your shield?
Mine's running, well, you know, I've kind of settled on running the Gold Dot.
Mm-hmm.
I found that actually, depending on the magazine, sometimes Corbon DPX actually would hang up at the bottom of the feed ramp. But that was just dependent on the magazine. And strangely enough, that was the high-capacity magazine that would hang up. So I've been running, you know, Spear Gold Dot, 124 grain, not plus P, just standard, you know, velocity ammo out of it. And that has run 100% without a problem.
All right. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't mention today that the gun industry has lost two people just this past week that are big Second Amendment patriots. And number one is Bill James, the owner and founder of the Arms Room in League City, who I've met a couple of times myself. Really, really fantastic guy. He passed away this past Friday. And so
it's really unfortunate. Our condolences to his family, because he really was a really nice guy.
And a true, you know, fighter for the Second Amendment. An active supporter for the Second Amendment. And so we send our condolences out to the James family, especially his wife and his son Travis and his daughter. Really, really great people. So if you happen to be in the area, stop by the Arms Room, give them your condolences. They will be closed on Tuesday the 28th for the funeral. But we wish them the best from Guns Over Texas. It's really sad that we lost Bill James. And then second, anybody that's got a crossbreed holster, get on the Crossbreed Holsters Facebook page and give them your condolences. It's Mark Craighead, the owner and founder of Crossbreed Holsters, which Jason is actually carrying right now. He passed away this, I believe it was just a couple days ago. So it's Crossbreed. He called it Crossbreed because he wanted you to remember the cross in Crossbreed. Mm-hmm. So he's a Christian guy, and it's terrible that it happened. He was a pretty young guy, and so you know, send your condolences to both the Arms Room and Crossbreed Holsters. The shooting community is definitely going to miss those two guys. Jason, how do you like your Crossbreed holster?
I like it quite a bit. The only thing I do complain about with them is I don't like the metal clips that normally come with it. You saw it on mine. It's now Kydex J-hook style. Mm-hmm. I did change those out. I actually made my own J-hooks just because I could never find ones that fit the belt exactly the way I like them. But the metal clips, they're easy to get off and on, but the metal just eats your belt alive. And if you ever want to wear the belt without the holster, you'll see that the metal just tears the leather up. But other than that, it's the most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I love the hybrid style.
Now, last week we talked about the shooting of U.S. soldiers by supposedly allied Afghan police. And if anything good could actually happen out of that, well, we've got to start, as our soldiers are now allowed to carry
guns that have
magazines in them. Whoa. Now, they still can't have a round chambered, but now they've got a magazine inside the gun.
Right.
Now, this is something I get into philosophical arguments about on a weekly basis with people at the range. It's they carry a gun in that same condition.
Yeah.
You know, magazine in it and unloaded. Mm-hmm. Well, loaded mag, unloaded gun. And that just drives me nuts because all of them tell me the same thing. I can draw and shoot just as fast
as
if it was loaded.
No, you can't.
And that's wrong.
Absolutely wrong. A really competent shooter on the low end will shoot, you know, draw and fire in 0.75 seconds. That's really a hot, top-notch shooter. But on the best that somebody who's carrying with a empty chamber is going to do is probably 1.25, maybe 1.5. And that's really stretching it. Most will never get anywhere near.
Are you talking about from concealment or just pattern?
From concealment, at best, 1.5 seconds is the best I've ever seen. And I can't even, you know, confirm that.
Okay.
I don't support it. I understand why people do it, but the logic is false. The idea is, well, the gun's not safe to carry. There's not a gun that's been manufactured, at least of any quality, since 1980 that
well,
wasn't
to say
safe
that
to carry.
You won't get in a scuffle on the ground anyways. That you
there's
get
the
knocked
whole
over
yeah.
And
yeah. There's the whole
you've
issue.
Only got one
would
hand.
You have the opportunity to even, you know, rack the slide or do whatever?
And watch. We've watched the videos of several gunfights this week because I just emailed one to you guys last night.
Right.
Which was you know, that basically the drawing, the firing, and the guy being on the ground are over in under 2 seconds.
Yep.
It is quick when bad stuff goes down.
Yep.
One of the arguments that I get for this carrying in that condition is, what if somebody takes my gun away from me?
Well, and I why say, wasn't well, it concealed?
Who are you fighting, Obi-Wan Kenobi? What's
well, I mean,
the deal?
Yeah, it's the thing. Well, we come back to this is one of the reasons we like concealed carry.
Heretic.
It's fine if you're going to carry openly, but if you're going to carry openly, then that's why we continually recommend doing some sort of a retention system. Minimum level 2, preferably level 3.
Level 3.
Yeah. You know,
again, look what the cops are carrying. They're not carrying all those little button snaps and whiz bangs.
All that
for
stuff
the
went
front
away.
Of it.
I mean, I was a kid, I can remember there being several officers killed that, you know, in the early days, officers didn't carry openly in anything more than a level 1 holster. And
the old Bill Jordan.
Yeah, Bill Jordan. You know, yeah, basically nothing more than something that just held onto the trigger guard, if that, or a thumb snap. And you know, it, or even the big flap over the top of the holster. But, you know, as a kid, I can remember my dad losing a couple of coworkers and even, you know, other agencies losing officers because up till that point, nobody carried any kind of real retention holster when they carried openly. And this was on duty. And so that is part of the reason that today, almost, I don't know of any agency that doesn't require you to carry, if you're carrying openly, to carry in a level 3 or better holster. But if it's concealed, then nobody knows it's there to fight you over the gun in the first place. That's just, I mean, that's just the way it is. That's just a fact, and we can't change that. So the thing is that you're not going to have time. You know, you're assuming you have time to rack the slide, and I just don't see it. Fight your introduction to the fight may be picking yourself up off the floor. That's a reality, and not a lot of people have thought about that. And it's right up there with how many people have thought about calling 911. You know, how long does that take?
Well, you talked about retention levels 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. What are retention levels 1, 2, and 3?
Want me to tell? Okay. Retention level 1 is just basically, it's in the holster. It's the friction with the holster. An right. open top inside the waistband holster, like a Milt Sparks or something like that, Summer Special. The leather or nylon is basically the only retention.
Yeah.
Same with a Phobos holster or some type of holster where it snaps into a Kydex. Mm-hmm. That is level 1 retention. Level 2 retention brings in some type of an active or passive retaining device, whether it's a snap. A thumb brake holster would be an excellent example of a level 2 mm-hmm. holster, because there's an actual something that has to be deactivated before the gun will come out.
Right.
When you start getting into level 3 holsters, those are the security holsters you see the police officers carrying. There's typically two things that have to be defeated before the gun will come out. Mm-hmm. It's not just the friction of the weapon. Then you have a thumb brake. Then you might have a twisting motion to break free some internal lock that's in the holster. Right. A lot of times if you look at these police holsters, you'll look at them and you'll say to yourself, oh, that's not a... You know, I could get that easy. Well, it's supposed to look that way. You're not right. supposed to see all the retention. Trust me, inside of that holster, molded into the interior part of it, there are things that lock into the ejection port and the trigger guard of the weapon that actually lock it into the holster.
Right.
And a quality Safariland is I will live and die and recommend Safariland to my dying day for a duty holster. You could pick somebody up and swing them around by that belt, and that gun is not coming out until those safety devices
now
are
you
deactivated.
Carry in a Bianchi.
I have a Bianchi Accumole that I use. It's a level 2, and that's what I carry for on-duty concealed. Mm-hmm. And when I actually go to my duty rig, I use a Safariland 6940, which is a rotating hood holster, and I'm going to upgrade it whenever I finally switch to my Glock to a level 3 that'll have an SLS and an ALS lock. There'll be two locking devices on it.
Yeah. Now, you know, there's other advantages, even for those of us who carry concealed, to wearing some sort of retention level holster, i.e. level 2, in that, you know, most of us don't get in situations where you have to go running after somebody, but if you ever really get into a hard fight while wearing a gun, it's interesting what gets kicked out of your holsters and that sort of thing when you're on the ground. And that's where a retention holster starts having its advantages. Most of us don't train in hand-to-hand combat wearing a gun. But when you've actually done that, then you start discovering that stuff gets kicked loose and goes sliding across the floor, and you're like, well, where'd that come from? Oh, wait, my belt's a little light. And, you know, that's your gun that went to the bad guy.
I know somebody very well who got into a scruff at Walmart at 3 in the morning as a guy was grabbing a bank bag and taking off down the aisle.
Yeah.
And this person I know very well decided to tackle the guy, and he got him. And as they were wrestling on the ground, his Glock 21 came out of his inside the waistband mm-hmm. leather. It was just a basic leather holster.
I can't begin to tell people how horrible these one-size-fits-nothing bucket holsters are. And they'll tell me, but this will fit. I can fit three different guns in there. It'll fit my right. Bursa, my Taurus, and my whatever other piece of junk insert here. If you're going to spend money on a gun, get a quality holster that's, even if it's going to be open top, something that's molded to the shape of the gun mm-hmm. and has some type of retention, even if it's one of these like CompTac, you actually feel the gun click in.
Right.
Now, that's not super retention, but that's
it's something
a darn that's, sight better than these yeah. nylon, especially the nylon inside the waistband holsters that collapse and close whenever you're going into it. Those are awful, awful, awful. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's head out to line 2. Mac. What do you say today, Mac?
Hey, you know, speak of the devil.
How'd you get past your mom, dude?
Well, I mentioned somebody who carries a Kel-Tec or a Taurus or a, yes, or an FEG.
I graduated from that. I only exclusively carry
a High Point? Oh, a what?
FEG. He's the only man I know that could take a perfectly serviceable weapon like a Glock and turn it into something less than
not
serviceable.
Good, yeah.
The proper gun terminology is pimpastic. Thank you very much. But well, you know, And the funny thing is, you're talking about me, and you didn't even play the background music of, you know, The Hero Lies in You.
Okay, so
we were going to play the theme to the Blue Oyster.
So I didn't,
I didn't know. I didn't know if you wanted me to give it away that it was you, but okay. So I was talking about my brother. Okay, at three. Who else is going to be at Walmart at 3 a.m?
I don't know. I know a gun store owner might be out.
Yeah, no kidding. Very funny. I knew that was going to come up too. But I knew I was going to be compared to the.
So go ahead, man.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm humbled by your appreciation of my heroic answer. Okay. No. Okay. This is a good lesson to be learned. It all goes back to
You mean the lesson is Walmart is insured, you can let them get robbed?
No, those idiots, those jerks, they didn't even give me free roses. It was the night before Valentine's Day. I was getting roses for my mom, and they didn't even give me the free roses. I saved them $2,800. So the whole point to that is you're a product of your where you put yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I wouldn't have been at Dadgum Walmart in the hood at 3 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't have been in that situation.
Uh-huh. Stupid people and stupid places
doing stupid things
at stupid times.
Yeah, 59 Little York, 2:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
For those who don't know, 59 in Little York at any time of the day is not the best neighborhood in the world.
So I pull over to get gas. I'm running on fumes. Of course, I've got cash. I'm paying in gas, 2:30 in the morning, 59 in Little York, and I go to pay at the little window, and all I see is a guy at the counter turn around and walk away. And I thought, what? And then I feel headlights, and the next thing you know, what I like to say is, okay, one of the people there began feeling around my back pocket. I thought they were trying to get my wallet. They hit my gun, and I like to think that I withdrew my weapon, stepped back, and said, please don't come near me, freeze, don't come near me, and backed off and got in the car. What actually came out was, as I pulled on my gun, screaming mm-hmm. like a maniac and running, scrambling back to the car.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some major expletives mixed in there, too.
No.
Thank you for skipping out on those.
Problem is I put myself in that situation. So there's a lesson to be learned here.
Mm-hmm.
The holster, the in the waistband holster in Walmart, that is exactly what happened. Wrestling around with this guy, I didn't have just sat in there. I didn't have a thumb break or any kind of retention.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it was a Tagua holster that the lady was talking about earlier. One of the most comfortable holsters I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, comfortable and fast equals it's fast to fall on the ground, too.
Oh, man, it dumped right there next to me. And thank goodness I had my revolver on my ankle and was able to get to it pretty quickly if I needed it. But the manager of the Walmart ended up grabbing the gun.
Just think, all you were up against then was gravity. If someone physically wants to take that gun away from you, you got a whole new set of problems.
Exactly, man. That's right. Mm-hmm. Moral of the story is don't try to be the hero because Walmart's not going to compensate you in any way, shape, or form for it.
For those who don't wait until midnight on January or what,
February
14th.
On yeah. February 13th.
Jeez.
I'll go and get the roses with the brown edges. They'll be half off.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. But it's for my mom.
What a son. What a son.
Yeah. Hey, great show, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling, Mac. Thanks for giving us your 2 cents and giving us your side of the story.
He's always got really, I guess, informative, funny, he was an idiot stories.
All right, let's head out to line one and talk to AK Johnny. AK Johnny, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Johnny?
Hey, gentlemen, the roses the day after Valentine's are even cheaper.
Oh, honey, I bought these before. I just forgot to give them to
That's
you.
Right. You have to feign sickness on Valentine's Day to get them cheaper the next day.
Hey, no, I was just kidding. It's a shame about Mark Craighead. I love the crossbreed holster. You're mentioning the cross on the clip, and that's kind of saved me a couple times. What is that? That's on your waist. That's my religious belt clip.
Another reason I like C-clamp style hold-ons, because you can't see them.
Yeah.
Well, I still got the J-hooks, but these ones I like better to put on and off daily.
Mm-hmm.
First off, Brian, it still looks great to holster, but it's a shame to hear about Mr. Craighead passing.
Yep. That is. So what do you have for us today, Johnny? You got a range report?
Yes, sir. I got a new addition to the family. It's a Czech VZ 2008. It's made by Century, but it's one of their nicer builds. It's their version of the AK, and the only thing it's got in common with the AK is the look itself. I mean, everything else is completely different. The trigger mechanism, it's a striker fired, so it's more similar to a Glock than an AK. Instead of having a rotating bolt, it's one piece that goes.
Yeah, it's the VZ-58. Yeah, they don't use the mags don't interchange with the AK. It might look like an AK to the layman, but there is absolutely nothing going on internally with that gun that has anything to do with an AK.
Yeah, but it's price point $400 for a milled receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sweet deal.
I have no problem with the gun whatsoever, except finding the mags. The problem is for folks like me who already have a metric ton of AK mags and other stuff, is they look close enough that I'd grab the wrong thing, and I wouldn't be able to shove an AK mag into a VZ, and I wouldn't be able to shove a VZ mag into an AK, and there could be issues. But it's a good gun.
Just want to say $400 for a brand new AK milled receiver. Shoots mm-hmm. great. Broke it in at a tactical rifle class. Doing mag dumps, but performs real well.
Where was the tactical rifle class?
Hot Wells.
Good deal. What night did you do it?
It was on a Wednesday night, and I was the only one that bothered showing up because of the heat, so it was basically one-on-one instruction, which is pretty cool.
Hey, that's great. How much did it cost you?
It was like $50, as I took it before.
Cool.
Was it Josh or Donovan teaching?
They got another guy. I believe his name was... I don't remember his name. Is it Scott or Charles?
All right.
He's an HPD officer. He does real good classes.
All right.
It's fun, except for AKs get real hot doing mag dumps real fast. That's part of the fun.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, do you see the VZ-58 as being a new go-to gun for you?
Depends what part of the house I'm at.
Well, we got to start calling you VZ Johnny.
Well, it's an AK variant. I mean, it's my ninth AK, so... I mean, I got them all over my house for personal protection and for fun. I'm planning to use an AK-308 in February to go shoot some piggies from a helicopter.
Hoorah.
Cool.
If y'all are planning on going again next year.
Well, we're trying to put one together sooner than that.
I've got a bunch of people asking me, and I thought everybody would have figured out by now that I'm not the one to put it together. You know?
Or to cook the meat, or to organize anything,
why we need
or to get me a shield.
Grab the bull by the horns and get this thing taken care of.
Fine. Give me the contact information. I'll make it happen.
Thank goodness. All right. Johnny, we appreciate you listening, and we definitely appreciate you giving us a call and giving us a range report, man. Have a good
thanks,
one, Johnny.
You too. Take care.
All right, and let's head out to Spring Branch. Ronald, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Ronald?
You're dyslexic, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm interested in buying a handgun for home protection, and I was wondering what y'all recommend, what millimeter or what caliber.
Well, if it's for the home, there's no reason to go with a smaller handgun, so you could go with any full-size handgun.
Or a shotgun.
Is there a reason why you want to stick with a handgun?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, Monty was asking if there's any reason you want to stick with a handgun. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's sort of weak. Let me boost my volume up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, is there any reason you'd want to stick with a handgun instead of going with a shotgun or a rifle?
No, not really. I mean, wouldn't it be faster to access a handgun than a rifle?
It could
or a
be.
Shotgun?
The advantage of a handgun, though, is you can conceal it and carry it on about your person, and that is an advantage. But if it's going to be in the home anyway and it isn't being carried, you know, you get a lot bigger bang out of a shotgun than you will out of a handgun.
Yeah. Right.
Or a rifle.
Yeah. So,
I will say this. For even home defense, mm-hmm. let's face it, I can answer a door and talk to you while pointing a handgun at you.
Yes, I can.
That's a little difficult to do with a long gun.
Yes, indeed. And with a handgun, you still have the ability to hold a flashlight mm-hmm. and to open doors and to move through areas and to actually hold the phone, mm-hmm. which is something you can hold a long gun with one hand, but a handgun does make things a lot more convenient.
Right. So sticking with a handgun in that case, I have no problem with
it. And as far as which one to recommend for home protection, man, there's so many of them, and you'll hear us say the same things over and over again. Glock, M&P, XD, Smith & Wesson revolvers, 19. Yeah. I mean, it's. I don't know your experience, your hand size, how many people you have in the house, what type of construction your home is, or anything like that to narrow it down, because there's a whole lot of factors that can be taken into consideration when trying to recommend one thing.
Yeah. Well, we tend to say start at 9mm.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's the cheapest of the service calibers out there. It's the most reliable feeding. It's the most common ammunition you can find. So it's going to be, you know, there's tons of choices. You can certainly go up to 40 or 45 if you want, but you're not necessarily gaining anything from a home defense standpoint. You're actually reducing ammunition capacity. And, you know, we know cops that, you know, that have been around from the early days. And, you know, there was that time period when everybody carried revolvers, and then the first time they got into a shootout, they went, oh, wow, I need an autoloader, so they went to a 45. And then the next time they got into a shootout, they went, oh, wow, I need more bullets, so they went to a 9mm so they had more bullets. So, you know, it's part of the reason we like 9, is that it's the highest capacity handgun you can get. But, you know, if you want to shoot a 40 and you're able to shoot a 40 as quickly and accurately as you could a 9, then certainly go with a 40. Or even 357 SIG if you want to go there. Just realize that those are more expensive to feed.
And harder to find.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I mean, I haven't really decided on a handgun, but, okay. I mean, it'd be more effective instead of having a shotgun or something.
Yeah, a handgun has a lot of defensive advantages over a shotgun. I'm not necessarily a big shotgun proponent. I think that they're cool. I think they have a lot of good things going for them. There's certainly nothing more devastating at short range, but the downside is that you got, you know, on the high end, 9 rounds in that gun.
And they're heavier and longer.
Heavier and longer.
I'm a rifle man more than a shotgun man.
So, you know, my primary home defense long gun is a rifle. You know, now it's a 308. Some people may consider that excessive, but I like the idea of being able to shoot through a car. I'm okay with that.
I bet if he showed up at a certain shooting range, there would be a bunch of handguns available for him to rent and try to find out what would fit his hand and his preferences best. Where would a place like that be?
Jeff?
I don't know.
I know he won't be able to find an M&P shield for sale there.
Come by Shiloh Shooting Range, Ronald, and talk to us, and we'll be more than happy to assist you in finding the right gun for you in your house.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes,
all right, Ronald, we appreciate you calling. We appreciate your contribution to Guns Over Texas. If you're on hold, hold on just a little bit longer, as we're going to be right back with more Guns Over Texas after this commercial break. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We've only got about 5 minutes left, so if you have any last-minute questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 281-558-5738, and we'll get right to it. I had a customer this week ask me a question about legalities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't sure about the technical answer. Now, I know the common sense answer, but not the technical answer. But I knew that the one and only Encyclopedia Montgomery would definitely know the answer.
Hey, watch, it'll be the one time he manages to stump me. Okay,
no, I'm sure I won't. Because let me just say first, my answer is just go home first. But let me get to the question now. Okay, someone buys a gun.
Uh-huh.
Okay. On the way home, they got to get a tire changed.
Okay.
All right. They don't want to leave their new purchase in the car while it's out of sight. So are they legally allowed to carry a cased gun in a plastic or paper bag, you know, not see-through, into the tire shop?
The technical answer is actually probably no, okay, because unless you have a concealed handgun license, then it is illegal to have a handgun on or about your person in the state of Texas. So the technical answer is no.
Okay, so if this person had a concealed handgun license,
then they would have no problems whatsoever. Yes.
Okay, so. But if you have no concealed handgun license, you just drive on that sick tire all the way home first, right?
Well, yeah. Or you could leave it secured, like in a trunk or something like that. You could certainly do that. But you're certainly running the risk that somebody in the tire shop will spot it and go, "Hoo-hoo, got a new gun." So, I'll say again, if you've got a CHL, then you avoid all those issues. It's another reason to get a concealed handgun license.
That's right. And I'm hearing more and more people come in when they buy their guns saying that they're glad that they have their concealed handgun license because we don't have to call in their background check.
Yep. That is the secret sauce to the getting a concealed handgun license, is that it is your background check. You've already been through that check already, so you're able to buy your firearm, simply fill out your 4473 and move on.
I can't tell you how many times I've had the conversation where I ask somebody, do you have your concealed handgun license? When they're buying a gun, well, no, I don't want, they shouldn't know if I'm carrying a gun or not. Well, you do understand I have to call this in for a background check.
Which means that now they really know you have a gun.
Yeah. So, not a good argument. Just get your concealed handgun license, then you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
It makes gun buying quick and simple, and you can carry your gun to and from the store.
Yeah.
Because, as we know, it does you no good when you park your car, leave your gun in the console, and then go mm-hmm. into the store.
Correct. So. Well, we saw that with what was the officer that we call her now, Zone de Erotica?
I didn't call her anything remotely like that.
Well, I'm sorry. Somebody in her agency calls her that now. She got caught in a store on 1960, late in one night, like 10 o'clock. What was it, 10 o'clock at night or something like that?
It was pretty late, I think.
Yeah, and robbery goes down, and oh, my goodness, maybe I shouldn't be here. And she has to go out to her car to get a gun and, got shot along the way.
And thank goodness she's okay.
She is. That is a good thing. But,
and is forever known as Zone D.
There you go.
Now, I read a piece of news earlier today. Believe it or not, I do.
It must have a lot of pictures in the article, but go on.
And
pictures of pretty girls.
And places to color on.
Ah.
It was the placemat.
The placemat at the barbecue joint. The University of Colorado is going to be segregating dorms for students who have valid permits to carry concealed guns.
I'm okay with that. You know why? Because I'd rather live with a bunch of people like mine than live with a bunch of folks that are going, oh, my God, you have a gun. So I'm okay with that.
I bet that dorm is going to have less issues with all-night binge drinking.
I was going to say, it will be interesting to see if they are smart enough to keep track of their crime statistics to see which dorm has the lowest crime statistics after doing that.
That's something that I'll be looking forward to revisiting.
Or, well, I know where the places are that have guns to go rob because I want to go steal guns, so I wait till everybody's in class between 9 and noon when everybody's out of the dorm,
and
that's when I go climb through ceiling tiles and steal guns.
Keep a safe in your classroom, in your dorm room.
I can get to a lot of those little cheapo safes. Yeah. But anyway.
Why not just carry it with you?
That would be the right idea, but what if I have more than one?
Well, there you go. Uh-huh. We'll find out. You can carry more than one holster. Houston, that's another 2 hours of Guns Over Texas down. Tune into the same time, same place next week for 2 more hours of Guns Over Texas. If you don't have your concealed handgun license, get it now, and you can get it at Shiloh Shooting Range. Give them a call at 281-444-8930. See you next week. Shoot straight, Houston.